Good morning, everybody. It is the 28th of July, 2024. We are here for our Sunday morning chitty chatty bing bang. And we'll do an hour, and then we'll do an hour just for donors where you can ask me all the spicy questions you want, and I will do my level best to answer. So, hello, thank you, and welcome. And what do you think your next biggest work or project after peaceful parenting will be? Well, I have switched to doing some, of course, the private call-ins. They're very interesting. The private call-ins are absolutely fascinating. And if you're interested, it's sort of an introductory rate. I'm going to have to raise prices because demand is a little through the roof. But you can go to freedomain.com/call. freedomain.com/call. Is that right? Hang on. Let me double check. Yes, freedomain.com/call. And you can request a private call-in. So they're quite interesting. You left a tip. Thank you. So, of course, that's not particularly visible or really visible at all to the general population. But those are quite interesting. It's very cool to have that conversation outside of the public eye and to be, I guess, obviously fairly frank as a whole. All right. You sent me a tip. Says, hey, Steph, I'm 26 and finally starting to develop high sexual market value. Can you make your best case for monogamy? I have been debating this idea for years. Very soon I could have enough value where I don't need monogamy. What do you think? So you sent $10 for me to define your life and the value of pair bonding. One of the things that determines a high value person is generosity in the sense of their own value. So, Pauline sends $5. Can we talk about the Olympic Games opening? I'd call it blasphemous and satanic. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what the problem is. It's entirely liberating, right? This is the people in charge. This is the people who, like, I'm deplatformed, and people who do blasphemous reenactments of the Last Supper are not just, it's not just okay to have them around. They're given, you know, multi-tens of millions of dollars of budget and broadcast around the world. That's just the reality of the world that we are, right? That's the reality of the world that we live in, you understand, right? I'm deplatformed. They get massive platforms. So it's entirely liberating, isn't it? I mean, I'm missing something, but it seems entirely liberating to me. Entirely liberating to me. I mean, they couldn't be more clear. The where the world is and where the world is heading couldn't be more clear. So I do think that is, it's very liberating. I mean, I didn't watch any Olympics at all. Like, the Olympics used to be about countries, and it's not that, right? It's not that anymore. It's like the spelling bees are like Indian kids versus Indian kids, the math leets or math Olympics is just Asian kids versus Asian kids, and right, so it's not, there's no particular team anymore. So, yeah, I mean, the Olympics used to be fairly uplifting, and it used to be an expression of human beauty, skill, and excellence in the physical realm, which has value, and now, I mean, it's just wallowing in the most absurd and nonsense that you can imagine, and yeah. So, I mean, it's very liberating, and like, honestly, they're trying to help you. They're trying to help you. People are trying to help you. So there's a beautiful thing that the Olympics opening ceremonies will do for you. Would you like to know what that is? Would you like to know just how beautifully liberating the opening ceremony of the Olympics is? If you want to take it, if you want it, it means that everyone who succumbs to corruption has been amply warned, right? The devil cannot take your soul without your consent. The vampire cannot enter your house without being invited in. Evil is a collaboration and an enablement from the supposed victim to the corruptor. So the Olympic ceremony, as is so many other things in this world, the Olympic ceremony is a sorting mechanism right? Like Gryffindor and Slytherin and whatever the hell else those other hat-based organisms are. It is a sorting mechanism, and it's there to help you. If you want it to help you, it is there to help you. So it's there to help you, so you can say to people in your life, what did you think of the opening ceremonies to the Olympics? Hey, what did you think? And if they say, I thought it was edgy, cool, and neat, that's your sorting mechanism, right? That's your sorting mechanism. Well, I thought it was somewhat problematic, but I like women in bathing suits, so I watched anyway. There's your other sorting mechanism. It's a sorting mechanism. It's a sorting mechanism. As adults, how many become corrupt without their consent? Virtually no one. It's a sorting mechanism. It's there to help you. It's there to highlight the corruption of those around you so you can get to safety if that's what you want to do. They're on their knees, one testicle hanging out in front of kids maybe, but they're on their knees begging to help you. We can't make it more clear. How can they make it more clear? They can't make it more clear. So you go to the people in your life and you say, hey, what did you think of these Olympic opening ceremonies? And if people are like, well, it's not my cup of tea, but I thought it was interesting and artistic and edgy and, you know, oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was really cool. I think it's really great that society's opening up to blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, so we got no problems, right? So with something like this, anybody who's corrupt, who's left in your life, you know they're corrupt. And they're there by your choice. So I'm a little confused why everyone's so mad. This is a great sorting mechanism to tell you who shares your values, if those are your values, and who does not share your values, if those are not your values. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I don't see how they could possibly be more helpful. All right, enough of that. So, hit me with a why if you are in a monogamous relationship. Oh, Lee, thank you. Lee says, just listen to your novel, Just Poor, this week. It was brilliant. We'll be sending my feedback to you in more detail. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a great novel. JustPoorNovel.com. JustPoorNovel.com. Yeah, I mean, so of course it is the Hunger Games, right? It is the Hunger Games writ large. So everybody has, you know, they're cheering on Katniss, was that her name? Katniss, the fantasy woman who, boy, in a post-apocalypse world, I won't become a sex worker, I'll become an archer. Sure you will. Sure you will. So, oh, also, when everyone's starving, I'm going to have a perfect figure. Sure you will. Absolutely. So, yeah. The Hunger Games says the bad guys are all dressed weird and look funny and all of that. And that's really clear. And then they're literally showing you, these are the bad guys through Hunger Games, through a whole bunch of other things, right? These are the bad guys. Oh, look, we're just like the bad guys. So, I mean, come on. They could not be more helpful if they were trying. I mean, do you know the number of, it's not an isolated thing, right? It's not an isolated thing at all. Do you know how many, like to do something like an Olympic opening is planned for years? It's planned for years. The budget, the approach, and it goes through hundreds of layers. So At least goes through hundreds of people who have to approve it. You know, the media is literally saying this is what baddies look like, and then they show you the baddies, and you're supposed to feel like a victim. I mean, my God. No, it's there. So if there are corrupt people left in your life, you have no excuse. And it's beautiful because it means when bad things happen to bad people, when things have been this obvious, you don't have to feel bad. It's a way of curing you of pathological altruism. It's a way of curing you of pathological altruism. So, let's say you've got a friend, and her friend is, she's got a friend, and her boyfriend is, like, really pro whatever corrupt stuff is going on in the world, right? And you say, you know, the fact that he's into this really corrupt stuff, how do you say the fact that he's into this really corrupt stuff is a bad sign? Like, they're not kidding. People aren't kidding. It's not like, oh, it's edgy and cool and theater kids run wild. Like, they're not kidding. Right? They believe in God. They believe in the devil. And they're very open about it. I mean, Marie, I go into this in more detail in my 11-hour series on desensitizing us from virtue. No, John, they're not desensitizing you from virtue. They're not. They're helping you by pointing out the corrupt people in your life. They're turning you towards virtue. I'm not saying that's their conscious intention, but that's what you can get if you want. I'm not desensitizing you from virtue. So you have a friend, her boyfriend's into all kinds of creepy stuff. You know, he's into horror movies and like whatever creepy, weird stuff is going on in the culture. And you say, you know, this is kind of serious. This is a big deal, right? And she doesn't listen. No, he's just into edgy stuff. He's just got a bit of a rebel streak. He blah, 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 blah. He's a great guy. He's just, you know, he's got these quirks and blah, blah, blah. So then, if she ends up getting mistreated by this guy, I mean, you know, let's say he's violent towards her, you can say, well, you should go to the police and you should charge him, but I'm not providing you any sympathy or resources. What's their goal? I mean, the goal of corrupt people is for evil to triumph, right? So when people ignore the obvious signs of corruption in their environment, you get to detach from them if you want and feel no guilt. Look, we've all known, or maybe we've been that guy. We've all known that guy or that girl who gets involved with someone for the wrong reasons, right? They're pretty, they're handsome, they're rich, they're wealthy, they're sexy, they're whatever, right? They get involved with the wrong reason and you're like, bro, this is so corrupt, it's not going to end well, blah, 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 blah. And then what? Well, bad things happen. So the reason you give people good advice is so you don't have to feel bad if they don't take it, right? You got to follow the dictates of your conscience. Always follow the dictates of your conscience. So I give people, I don't have anybody corrupt in my life anymore, but I give people good advice so that if they don't listen and things go badly, I'm liberated. I'm free. I don't have to circle back. I gave you my good advice. I gave you my good advice, and I gave you the reasons why. It wasn't just a feeling. It wasn't just a thought. Here's all of the details. Here's why it's going to go bad. Here's everything that I see. Here's all of the facts behind it. It's going to go bad. And that way, if they don't listen, done and done, then you don't have to feel bad. You know, like the you say to your friend, man, you smoke like a chimney, you got to stop smoking. And he's like, no, man, it's cool, I'm fine. That's just a conspiracy theory. And then if he gets sick from smoking, you can move on with your life. Your conscience has to be clear. And that means you give, and this is my case with the whole world, right? So I got deplatformed, big whoop, right? So I lost like, I don't know, over 80% of my income and 90% of my listenership. Okay, whatever, right? But I'd rather have a good conscience than good money. I'd rather have a clean conscience than dirty money. So whatever happens in the world now, I gave it my all in giving good advice to the world. Facts, reason, evidence, interviews, scientists, charts, data, PowerPoints, sources, the whole thing. I gave my very best arguments to the world as a whole, which means that whatever happens from here on into the world, I don't have to be concerned with. I mean, obviously, I have to sort of keep my alertness and all of that, right? But I did my best for 40 years. People are like, man, you should get into politics. Like, I did 40 years in politics, you know, 15 years or 14 years taking every bullet known to man, God, and devil. And I did my time. I did 40 years. And there are other people who can move in if they want to that space. But I gave the world the absolute best advice that I could possibly give. And people found it interesting, engaging, and entertaining, and I'm sure I changed some minds about a few things. But then when I was deplatformed, you know, just out of curiosity, I ran a search for myself yesterday on Twitter, and I just sorted by most recent. It was very interesting. It was all the same. It was all the same. What were people saying about me on Twitter? And I was still talked about quite a bit, right? What were people saying about me on Twitter? Because I was curious. I haven't done this in years and years. But what were people saying about me on Twitter? Page after page. I did like, I don't know, went back a couple of days. Page after page of the same comment. Hey, man, that guy just vanished. Whatever happened to that guy? I miss that guy. Whatever happened to him? Man, sometimes deplatforming really works. That guy totally vanished. He's just disappeared. He's gone. We need him. We need him in the fight. Love it. Oh, God, we need Steph back in this political fight. I miss that guy so much. He's vanished. He's gone. I miss that guy. Whatever happened to him? He's just gone. He went to the back rooms, man. He glitched out. Yeah, okay. Man, that guy, we really need him. I miss him so much. If only there was some way to find him. If only there was some way. You must pass the test of the flying, headless, scimitar-wielding, rapey monkeys in order to find the treasured, bald, speckled head of the big chatty forehead is deep in the dungeon, past whirling blades and fire jets and dragons. Or, you can just go one website over. Whatever happened to that guy? He just vanished. Spoiler, he didn't vanish. He was one website over. But apparently, I should put my neck out for politics, but people won't type in one website over. Delightful. Delightful. No, it's great. Because I, you know, whatever happens, if following me is too much, right? If it's like, we desperately need Steph in this fight. Oh, would I have to create another account on a website in order to be notified of his videos? Oh, man. I mean, a human being can only do so much. I'm tired, boss! A human being can only do so much. He got chased around, hunted through the streets by leftists, got bomb threats, death threats, continued to speak and talk. That he should keep going. And although he took all of these bullets and took all of these threats and all of this violence and kept going, if he expects me to go one website over, well, I mean, let's be reasonable here. I'm only a man. I can only do so much. It's not possible for me to type in another website and survive. He should stand tall in the face of bomb threats and death threats. But I cannot create another account, because one more tab is a bridge too far. It can't happen. It's not possible.
Yeah, you don't even need an account to use the free domain website. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Of course, I'm just, you know, I'm just saying.
Where could that guy have gone? His show called Free Domain is cleverly coded on the web as freedomain.com, which he paid a lot of money to get the website. So, Stefan Molyneux, who runs a show called Free Domain, well, how could I possibly find the Aramaic coded website called freedomain.com? Or the guy named Stefan Molyneux? If I go to StefanMolyneux.com, it redirects to freedomain.com. There's just no way to find him. I mean, it's like trying to transcribe ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics without the decoding magic of the Rosetta Stone. It's not possible. He has been burned down like the Library of Alexandria. He has been erased. Like everything good in history, he's gone. I can't learn ancient Aramaic to decode these cryptic texts spoken in plain English and available for free.
Did any of the OG influencers stick around or stay in contact with you now?
No. No, they've got their own careers. Yeah, like tears in the rain. I've seen sea beams glittering at the Tannhauser Gate. I've seen attack ships on fire on the shoulder of Orion. All of these memories will be gone like tears in rain. Time to die.
Ah, Rutger Hauer. I even liked him in Lady Hawk, where Alan Parsons created a pretty terrible soundtrack. But nonetheless. Yeah, is laughing when thinking about something frustrating, is it a healthy habit? No, it's genuinely liberating. I won't say I haven't gone through moments of frustration. I get all of that. But the only time if you just look at the downsides of stuff, if you only look at the downsides of stuff, you'll just have a miserable life. But almost every downside has an upside. Almost every down, and the way that you balance things in life is... Yeah, Peter Schiff did defend Steph. Yeah, he did defend me when you could still get banned for defending him. That's right. So, and look what happened with Peter Schiff and his bank. I mean, it's wild. So, it's important in life to say, okay, what are the upsides? What are the upsides? What are the upsides? So what are the upsides to deplatforming? Say, oh no, most of my income is gone. Most of my listeners are gone. Blah, blah, blah. Of course there are negatives. Absolutely there are negatives, for sure. for sure. But there are positives, and the positives have for me vastly outweighed the negatives. I never loved doing politics. I enjoy most the call-in shows and core philosophy. That's what I like the most. And I think, honestly, I think that's my strength. And there's lots of people who can do politics, not specifically from a philosophical angle, but there's lots of people who can do politics and do politics and do a good job of politics and so on, right? But for me, it was never my favorite thing to do. I thought it was important, and I thought there were interesting things, and Trump made it interesting because we finally got somebody who represented the will of a lot of people, right? And it was interesting to see what happened to society when democracy was actually enacted to some degree, right? When somebody who wasn't picked and chosen and groomed actually got into the highest office in America, it was interesting to see what happened, right? So, no, I'm happier. Peaceful parenting wouldn't be done without it. And that's important. And that's going pretty well. Peacefulparenting.com, I hope you'll share it. And the other thing, too, is that, oh, yeah, the live call-in was great. Yeah. The live call-in was great on Friday. We'll do more of those. The live call-in from Friday is out for donors. Yeah, it was fiery, man. It was fiery. So peaceful parenting as well, you know, it's called peacefulparenting.com, which I paid for that website too. So peacefulparenting.com. It's as engagingly and entertainingly and captivatingly written as possible. I narrate it as well as I can with passion in my not unpleasant voice with the vague Britishisms. And I spent months working on a shortened version so that people can get through it in a couple of hours. I've made it for free. I've made it available for free. The audiobook is free, which took forever to record. And so a year of my life was poured into that book, more than a year, in fact. A year of my life was poured into that book, and it's out there in the world. I've made it free, and that's the best I can do. That's the best I can do. So if people share it, great. If they don't share it, then that's on them. It's no longer on me because I've made as good a case as I can. So I hope you'll share the book. If you don't share the book, then you have to watch out for your own conscience, right? Steph, did you ever get to part two with that Latin woman from last week? Part one was wild. She's taking a pause on that, so I'm sure she'll be back. But at the moment, she's taking a pause, which is totally fine, of course. All right. Would you use Truth Social? Do you? I think I have an account there, but I've got very little engagement, so I don't really follow it too much. Why do you think they couldn't go one website over? I don't know. I don't know. It is interesting how, I mean, I'm sure you have this. There are people who influence you, and then for whatever reason, you just kind of forget about them, and then maybe later you're like, oh, that's interesting, and so on, right? So why couldn't they go one website over? Well, I mean, depends on the level of free speech in their country, right? So maybe people thought they'd be in trouble for following me. I don't know. Maybe they just weren't that interested. Maybe for them, philosophy was just entertainment, right? And of course, you know, this happens sometimes with people who, hey, man, I've been listening for you for 10 years, and I've just made every single mistake that you've ever counseled against repeatedly. And it's like sometimes a piece of entertainment for them, which they don't really. I'm like a diet book that you read, but not a diet that you follow. If that makes sense. What would you say is the value of peaceful parenting to all the non-parents out there, including those who never will? What is the value of peaceful parenting to all the non-parents out there? I don't understand that.
I don't understand that. So let's say that you don't have kids, maybe for some reason you can't have kids or you're too old or whatever. What is the value of peaceful parenting? It's to evaluate your own parents. I'm sorry, maybe I'm missing something completely obvious here, but the value of peaceful parenting is great if you have kids or are going to have kids. If you don't have kids or can't have kids, the value is to give you moral clarity about how you were parented. Am I missing something? Because it is about your own parents. What is the elevator pitch to read it? What is the elevator pitch to read it? If you think that peaceful parenting... Okay, you know what? You know, I find the question annoying and offensive, but that could just be immaturity on my part, so let me cast that aside. All right. To me, like, part of my brain was like, no, I'm not going to dance like a little monkey to get you to read a book on how to be a good human being. I'm not trying to sell you a fucking pen here. Or if you're the kind of person who needs an elevator pitch to read a book called Peaceful Parenting, you're probably not going to get anything out of the book other than a bad conscience. But I would say, right? No, but, you know, maybe that's petty on my part. I'm not a big fan serve me, work for me, serve me. Okay, so the elevator pitch to read Peaceful Parenting is that you don't want to be a moral hypocrite and you want to follow rules in your parenting that you're inflicting on your children, right? You're imposing rules on your children. Therefore, you have to follow those rules yourself. You want to make sure you're consistent with that. If you have the choice to reason with your children rather than use aggression, violence, threats, or ostracism with your children, that's better. It's better if we can do things peacefully and reasonably rather than violently and aggressively. So that's better as a whole. If you have people who are harmful to your children around, maybe you don't even know about it, maybe some toxic aunt or uncle or grandparents or something like that, then this book will help you identify those toxic people and keep them away from your children in the same way that things dangerous to your children, like lawn darts or C4, comes with warnings. Should not be used around children. Don't like these plastic bags. Children can choke and you want those warnings. So what this does, what the Peaceful Parenting book does, is it defines and applies warnings of environmental toxins called destructive personalities that you want to keep from being around your children. So it's a short read. It's an easy read. It's an easy listen. Emotionally, it can be challenging, but in terms of comprehension, it's easy to follow. Lots of examples, some occasional wit, and lots of reasoning and scientific data and all kinds of stuff. It's an absolutely airtight case for peaceful parenting. And once you've been exposed to the ideas, your parenting will become a whole lot better. And the other problem, of course, which you don't want to face, is that as peaceful parenting becomes more mainstream, you'll be held responsible because the website was out while you were a parent. And you heard about it. Now you've heard about it, you have to explore it. I mean, you have to. Because if peaceful parenting turns out to be right, and you don't follow it, you parent aggressively or violently or abusively, what's going to happen is your kids are going to grow up, and peaceful parenting will be much more the norm. And if you parent aggressively and peaceful parenting becomes the norm, then they're going to say to you, well, hang on, why didn't you peacefully parent? Now, are you going to lie to them and say, well, I never heard of it? It's like, oh, no, come on. What do you mean you never heard of it? Right? Peacefulparenting.com. It's not that hard to find, right? And you don't want to lie to them. So you'll have to tell them the truth and say, well, I did hear about it, but, you know, it was a couple of hours to listen to it, and I had, you know, 19 seasons of South Park to get through. So I just, you know, I spent an hour a day scrolling through social media, but I just couldn't spend an hour a day for a week or two to read Peaceful Parenting. So I, you know, it just wasn't a priority. And raising you peacefully just wasn't a priority. Sorry, I just, you know,
wasn't that interesting. I heard about it, you know, obviously you get the idea just from the title, but I just couldn't be bothered. Okay, so how are your kids going to judge you, right? So that would be my guess. And of course, there are people who have children in their orbit, as you guys are pointing out as well. So. Sorry, I'm just wondering what I can say to others about the book. I do want to share and have them read it, I hope. Thank you kindly. Honestly, just say this is a very interesting approach to parenting. I think it's going to become mainstream over time and get in at the ground floor. Hello, hello, everybody. Now, don't forget, we are going to go donor only shortly. Short Ali. And if you want to help support the show, freedomain.com/donate. I would really, really appreciate it. freedomain.com/donate. I couldn't get to the Peaceful Parenting book because I didn't want to miss the Destiny and John Oliver podcast. That's right. That's right. I wanted to watch more Joe Rogan, so I didn't get around to the Peaceful Parenting stuff, right? It's kind of funny. Also, don't forget, tiktok.com/@freedomain.com. tiktok.com/@freedomain.com or fdrurl.com/tiktok. I hope you will check those out. Those are some very cool shorts, also suitable and helpful for sharing. I know this is another annoying question that you get, but just wondering generally if you are planning on doing a hard print run on Peaceful Parenting. Yeah, maybe. 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 It's boring, complicated, and time-consuming, so we'll see. Lots of families in my church I would love to share with them. We are very family-focused. Right. Right. And the book is biblical, right? Jesus says to protect the children. Whatever you do to the least among you, so do you also do to me. Anyone who would harm the least among you, the children, it is better that a millstone be put around his neck and to be cast into the ocean. I've been sharing Peaceful Parenting to my best friend, and we've been having conversations about parenting frequently. Good to know. You can also record a question for live streams here. Yes, you can record a question at fdrurl.com/AMA. fdrurl.com/AMA. And that would be cool. Despite being closed off to you, she did research and realized the media took a lot out of context. Really? You think so? They might have taken a little bit of what I said out of context. Well, you know, whoops, slipped on a dick, got pregnant. What can I tell you? Accidents happen. But it means that people who live for lies don't get to listen to me. So people who accept what liars say don't get to listen to me. I'm not sure that's a bad thing at all. I'm not sure that's a bad thing at all. Just started Peaceful Parenting with my wife. No kids yet. Very enlightening. Difficult to read sometimes. Emotionally, yes, for sure. Steph, you're right about sharing the Peaceful Parenting book with regards to our conscience. I just shared it with 3 people in my life. It would be telling if they read it or engage with the AI or not. Right. I would love to gift a physical book to my newly parented friends. Yeah. 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 Well, you know, you can just print it out, right? It's available in PDF. You can just print it out, put it in a binder, and there's the book. You say, oh, well, that won't have as much credibility, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, but it should have credibility because you're their friend and you're giving it to them, right? So it should have credibility because of that. So there's a reason I make it available in PDF. You can then print it out, and you can even just take it to a local place, maybe a bookstore or whatever, and there's lots of places that will give you binding and bind it up nicely for you and all of that. But I might get around to it. I might get around to it. But generally, the vocal demand vastly outstrips the actual demand, right? So it's not anybody here's fault, but many, many, many times I have been led down the road of near infinite labor by the free domainers who say, I really, really want this. Just give me this. I'll be so happy if I can get this. I work hard to provide this, and almost nobody takes it up. So it's not your fault, and everybody here could be perfectly legit, but that has been my experience over the years. All right, Let's get to the question of monogamy. And again, if you would like to join, for the private donor session, which is happening in about 15 minutes, I would appreciate that. And of course, I think it would be great for you. Let me just give you the link here. freedomain.locals.com. You can sign up. Politics, but J.D. Vance being slandered as anti-woman for calling out the childless liberal cat ladies in the other party who are virulently anti-family, anti-child. I don't think he called them anti-family and anti-child. He's just pointing out that single women vote for the left. Like, it's one of the biggest demographics, right? One of the biggest demographics, right? I mean, obviously not as big as, what was it, 97% of blacks voted for Obama. But yeah, it is, he's just pointing out. And it's a little hard to argue with the math, but whatever, right? All right. I gifted the Art of the Argument to some of my friends, and they said the cover was so badass. Yeah, that is great. Do I have a copy here? Yeah, Art of the Argument. It's a great book of mine. Art of the Argument, that is a badass cover. Oh, can it focus? Somewhat. Yeah, Western Civilization's Last Stand. Yeah. Got some really nice endorsements on the back there. Art of the Argument. Artoftheargument.com. You should get that book. It's great. Cash up front for the paper version. Yeah. Indeed, you survey initial interest, it's high, but when it comes to committing resources or time, follow through drops off pretty hard. Yeah. Yeah. Can we kickstart campaigning a printed version then? I think that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's look into that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that note. James, if you mention that, maybe we can get a Kickstarter going for the printed version, both the long and the short version, right? I think that's a good idea. Thank you. All right. A question. All right. What do we got here? No, that's the J.D. Vance one. What else do we have? That's not the one. That's not the one. That's not the one. Oh, my gosh. I thought I had copied and pasted it. I may well. Now there are tabs in Notepad on Windows. So that's challenging. Oh, I know where it was. My apologies. It's you can now put notes in your donations. So that's a great way to get a question through to me with the vividness of some cashiola. All right. Hi, Steph. I'm 26 and finally starting to develop high sexual market value. Can you make your best case for monogamy? I've been debating this idea for years. Very soon, I could have enough value where I don't need monogamy. What do you think? That is a great question. That is a great question, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay, so, monogamy. Why are we sexually dimorphic? Why are there men and women? Why do we have penises and vaginas and orgasms and all that kind of fun, funky stuff? Why, oh why, oh why, do we have a sexual marketplace at all? Why? Why? I must know. I must know. For kids, that's right. We have monogamy for children. So it's a fundamental attitude of gratitude. So why do we have these big, giant brains? Why do we have these big, giant brains? Because of monogamy. That's the only reason. The more monogamy, the bigger the brain. That's just the way things work. Because if you want a big brain, you have to accept being helpless for more than a decade. You have to be born helpless. You have to stay helpless. You can't even walk for the first year. You are born as a human being, the most retarded of any species on the planet. Because that which ends up more complex takes the longest to develop. Rabbits are less complex than wolves. Rabbits grow up a lot faster than wolves. So that which is more complex takes longer to develop. So, how do you solve that problem? Well, monogamy solves that problem. In other words, the biochemical pair bonding, sexual, romantic, intellectual, hopefully moral, the biochemical pair bonding of man and woman is required for our brains to reach the size, strength, power, intelligence, and maturity that we have. So you only can ask questions about monogamy because your ancestors were monogamous. That's the only way that we can stay this helpless for this long, is because of the amount of parental investment that is required has to be enormously high to make up for our helplessness and dependence. You grok, you follow? This makes sense, right? I don't need to labor it with such a smart audience. So you have a giant brain to question the value of monogamy only because of the monogamy of your ancestors. Because if they had not been monogamous, we would have had to develop much faster and we'd still be monkeys or apes. Because we would have had to grow up so fast because we weren't protected by a monogamous pair-bonded relationship that lasts a lifetime, we would have had to grow up so fast that we would have had to sacrifice about 50 IQ points to have our brains develop that fast. So, that's just a basic fact. It doesn't mean you have to be monogamous. I'm just saying that you are who you are because of your ancestors' monogamy. Now, our ancestors didn't have cell phones. Does that mean we can't use cell phones? I get all of that. So I'm not saying we have to do it because our ancestors did it. I'm not a conservative that way. But what I am saying, is that have some gratitude for the monogamy of your ancestors, which has provided you the brain to question whether there's value in monogamy. That's number one. Number two, the quality of your life is two things. The quality of your life is two things. The quality of your relationship with your conscience and the quality of your relationship with others. That's it. A clean conscience and good companions. A clean conscience and a moral spouse. A good, virtuous, kind, generous, thoughtful, courageous spouse. That's it. Everything else is negotiable. Those two are abso-fucking-lutely not. Good morals, moral companions. That's it with regards to the controllable aspects of the quality of your life. And if you have to sacrifice a zillion dollars, burn every bridge to corrupt people in order to maintain a good relationship with your conscience and have quality moral people in your life, do it. Do it. Now, if you are not monogamous, you're a young man. If you're not monogamous, if you don't want to have kids, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me what you do hugely. A little bit, right? But this is mostly focused on people who want to have kids. So if you want to have kids, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your parenting. And the quality of your parenting is based upon your choices and the choice of who you choose to become the mother of your children. I'm talking to you as a man, obviously reverse for women. Now, if you're not monogamous, can you get a quality partner? You cannot. Because a quality partner will be focused on that which is best for her heart, her marriage, her security, her protection, and that which is best for her children. Is monogamy best for children? Yes, it is. Absolutely. Monogamy is essential for your children just as sexual loyalty is essential for your children, right? It's mama's baby, it's daddy's maybe. Without monogamy and fidelity, men don't have the same emotional urge to put as many resources into their children because they're not sure that they're theirs. which is why you had things like chastity belts in the past. When men went away for the Crusades, they'd lock up their wife's genitals to make sure that they didn't have any children out of wedlock passed off as their own. Or bastards that would be handed out to wet nurses that would then later come back like Edmund and King Lear and demand their just due, with no proof. So what's best for a woman is the man's pair bonding and loyalty and work investment into the family. And how does she get that? She gets that through monogamy and fidelity. I'm going to say monogamy is not just the pair bonding and the lifelong commitment, it's also not having sex outside the relationship. That's right. Not just the marriage, but the fidelity. So what is best for the children? It is best for the children if the father is certain that the children are his and has the most incentive to massively invest in the family, because he's going to take 90% of his paycheck or his hunt and hand it over to his women, as handed over to his wife and his children. So a woman wants what's best for the children, which means pair bonded, positive, significant, moral, fatherly investment, which you can only get through monogamy. A woman wants to fall in love and stay in love her whole life because that's what's best for her and her children. That's how we're designed. Men, we are a little bit less Velcro and a little bit more sticky tape. So men can be more promiscuous because that's how we're designed. Because a lot of times, because of war, other acts of violence, coercion, or problems, then you would end up with a lot more women than men, and therefore men would have to impregnate more than just a pair-bonded wife in order for the tribe to recover its numbers, right? So men can be used for repopulating a tribe, women can't be, and men were exposed to much more danger, right? I mean, you go out, you have a hunting accident, you get shot with a bow, you get nicked, you get bitten by a boar and the bacteria infects you, like you're dying a lot, right? And women die in childbirth sometimes as well, but men lived less long and died sooner often, and particularly in a time of war, and therefore men have to have more of an ability to sleep around than women do, because if men don't have any ability to sleep around, then you can't repopulate the tribe, right? You can't repopulate the tribe after men are being decimated. So a woman wants to be loved for her whole life, and a woman doesn't want to be dumped when she's past childbearing age. So she needs a man who pair bonds with her, not based on sexuality, not based on lust, not based on youthful looks, because the man has the advantage later on in life. Second half, first half of life, adult life, women have the advantage. Second half, men have the advantage, right? Women have more youthful beauty, and men have higher sex drives and testosterone and tend to pursue the women more. But later on, right, the man has the option to start a second family. So the woman needs a quality man who's going to stay with her, because if she accepts a polygamous relationship, she's going to be replaced when she gets past fertility age and when she gets old and stretchy and wrinkly and gray-haired, and she's going to get dumped for a younger model. So she doesn't want that, right? She wants that fidelity and that commitment. Right, that we all understand that, right? So a woman with self-respect and self-esteem is going to want a man who pair bonds with her and only her, so that she can securely pair bond with him, have the children, and they can then both invest in the grandchildren and so on, right? You know, when my daughter gets older, if she gets married, has kids, I'm looking forward to being a grandfather, and my wife is looking forward to being a grandmother. I'm still, I guess, of the age where I could technically dump my whole family and go and start another family, but I have no interest in doing that because I love my wife, right? She loves me, and we want to grow old together, and we want to have grandkids and all of that kind of lovely stuff, right? So you can't get a moral quality woman with self-respect who's going to commit to you if you're not monogamous. If you don't have a commitment to monogamy, no quality woman will be with you. And what that means is that you will then be surrounded by the ashen-laced trash heap of really broken women who'll be willing to put up with polygamy because they want to offer sex only and not require commitment so that they can get a man of higher quality than they could otherwise get. Right, so let's say, I mean, you see these polyamorous trios or quads or whatever, they're always like fat, gross, disgusting, physically ugly, and probably spiritually quite ugly people. And so why are they doing that? Well, a woman who wants a higher quality man doesn't let herself get overweight, right? This is the old Kevin Samuels, height, weight, dress size. How much did you weigh last time you weighed yourself, right? So a woman who wants a high quality man doesn't get fat, exercises, stays fit, stays healthy, and all of that. So a woman who's overweight or who is, you know, whatever, is low sexual market value for whatever reason, she's just going to offer sex instead of, and so that's going to be the sort of trashy physical slamming together, making the beast a very rounded beast with two backs, right? So if you want a quality woman, you have to offer her monogamy, because any woman with any self-respect will settle for nothing less. So monogamy is better for your children. It gives you more security as a mate. You don't end up with STDs. You don't end up falling in love with someone. Then they fall in love with someone else and they move on with that person, leave you with the baby. You don't end up with getting your heart broken on a regular basis. You don't get insecure. The woman doesn't freak out and panic about aging because she just gets replaced with a younger model. It's just a mess and a chaos and a horror show. So, and of course, monogamy is best for children because children in non-pair bonded relationships are preyed upon 30 times or more by men in particular. So if you have a single mother with a child and she brings another man in, which is a form of polygamy, right? Because her baby daddy is still alive and she's bringing another man in. So polygamy is toxic for children because there's a certain kind of protection that children get from growing up with a man that they don't get from a man who is just around. So it is much safer for children. And so a woman who's willing to accept polygamy is willing to accept the absolute dangerous risk to her heart, to her health, to her mental and physical health in terms of diseases and heartbreak, and she's willing to accept it. Situation that's highly toxic and very dangerous for her children, which means she has really, really terrible judgment, and she's willing to sacrifice her own health, sanity, and the sanity, health, and security of her children in return for sexual gratification, and that is terrible. That is terrible. So you just can't get a quality woman if you're going to go outside of monogamy. No woman with any sense of self-esteem or intelligence or care for herself, her heart, her health, and her children will even remotely entertain the idea of a polygamous relationship, and therefore you're just stuck on trash planet. And then you can't experience love, your children don't experience protection, and everything just gets worse and worse and worse over time. So that's my argument for polygamy. Yeah, women have smaller fertility windows. All men and women should know this, yeah. Older women who don't teach their daughters this are particularly at fault here.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a significant proportion of doctors, female doctors, who don't even know about this, right? Yeah, I just did a show. It was published for donors about hedonism and the decay of hedonism. So I hope you will check that out. All right, so we have a low donation day. You know, it is a little tougher to slog through. It is a little tougher to slog through if people aren't donating as much. I'll just be straight up with you. I mean, just straight up for you. I don't, of course, require the world, and I give just about everything out for free. So if you could help me out, I would really, really appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate, or you can tip right here in the app. Thank you for the case. You are very welcome. I mean, this is a life-changing case, right? It's a life-changing case. And we all know this, right? That polygamy is a low-rent, pretty trashy reproductive strategy. And the other thing, too, it's also bad. In remember, polygamy, we evolved without DNA tests. So polygamy, in polygamous relationships or polygamous societies, the children don't exactly know who their fathers are. And that is important because, I mean, you're going to have traits of your fathers, you're going to have health issues, you know, is there a family history of X is what you always get when you get older, right? So. I will work on these arguments and see if this is reflected in real life. Donated on the website. Thank you. I really, really do appreciate that. It does help a lot. It does help a lot. Thank you. All right, I'll just wait here. Any other last questions before we go? Donor only. And the spice levels increase. I will put the website in here if you want to join as well. I hope that you will. It's a great, you get a huge amount of benefits and bonuses. The truth about the French Revolution, private live streams, premium call-in shows, 22-part History of Philosophy series, and much more. And much more. What do you think about the economy in the West? It's all government propped up. Oh, there's no real economy in the West. It's just a shell game and illusions and debt. Why do you need monogamy to raise vulnerable children? Couldn't the children be raised collectively by all the women and men in the tribe? Well, the other thing too, is that if you raise your children in polygamous societies, brothers and sisters don't know that they're brothers and sisters, and therefore they could mate because they don't know who the fathers are, right? So then they could mate, and then you end up with a lot of genetic problems. Cousin marriage is a big problem, and sibling marriage is a huge problem when it comes to genetic abnormalities. So monogamy makes sure that the siblings all know they come from the same father, and therefore the incest taboo, which I've talked about in a philosophy show not too long ago, the incest taboo holds strong. Donated 25 at FDR. Couldn't do more low on funds right now. Thank you. I appreciate that. No problem. It's a tough economy out there, right? It's a tough economy, and I do understand that, and I do sympathize that, and I do try to add value as a whole to you as listeners. I will always try to add value to you, even economically as well. All right, so let me just see here. All right, I think we got to all the questions. Talk about women's fertility window to anyone. Nobody believes it. They just shrug with the just freeze your eggs propaganda. Yes, 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 I do. What was it? Somebody was talking about the J.D. Vance, and they mentioned my infamous, it was voted the worst tweet of all time at one point. My tweet about Taylor Swift saying, I think she'd be a fun mom. I hope that she decides to have kids soon because she's 90% of her eggs are gone. People just, well, women in general, just freaked out. Just absolutely freaked out. And for reasons I completely understand all of that. And the just freeze your eggs is no answer. Doesn't get you a quality husband. And the freezing eggs is expensive and not particularly reliable in many situations, right? My biological aunt says now she knows who my brother and I's biological father is. Bio mom was not sure. Who, before she died, no idea where he went. He did not stick around. I have four other siblings, both younger and older. Yeah, yeah. It's terrible. I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you for your tips and support. Let's go to donors and spice this up as much as you want. You can even talk politics. So, if you join on the website, that'd be great. This only goes out to donors, never to the general population. So I'll turn on the support thing. And I'll put you this in here. I mean, the coin stuff is great, but remember, Google takes a third of the coins, right, donations. So the best place to go is freedomain.com/donate. That's the best place to go for donations, because otherwise it's just ridiculous levels of overhead. So all right. We are going in 30 seconds. And we can go there. And there's almost no questions off limit in there. So you can ask away as you see fit. No, it's just from the coins. Yeah, the coins, everything that's paid out, I think the Google takes a third of it. Or something like that. It's high. It's 20%, 30%, something like that. But it's high.
So, I mean, it's appreciated for sure, but it's generally in better to do freedomain.com/donate.
All right, we are supporters only.